Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome a Rock Guitarist of the Year, nominee for the Metal Hammer Golden Gods Award, and he's only 13, folks. Our guest tonight is Nick Kai, guitarist for Chemical Kill. He's endorsed by Gibson Epiphone, Marshall, EMG Pickups, and Jim Dunlop. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flo DeBizzo, Floro, and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We got a great show for you tonight. Scott, how you doing?
I am doing fine. I'm surviving almost being killed by a rattlesnake today, but it wasn't a rattlesnake. It turned out to be a gopher snake, but sure as hell scared the hell out of me.
Any snake, I think, would be kind of scary, especially it looked pretty big. It looked like a pretty good size one.
No, it was actually really tiny, so really it's not really helping my man card at all. But
yeah.
But at the time, for that 3 or 4 seconds, I thought it was a rattlesnake. My heart was pumping pretty good. So.
Well, anyway, last week there was actually our guest was there at the show, but I wanted to mention it again. There was a benefit for the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. And actually, a couple of guests from our show were on there. Phil Chen and Rowan Robertson were both there at the show. They posted some pictures. I saw them up on Facebook. I want to just mention that they're still looking, you know, cancer. I think we've all lost people to cancer. Myself, I've lost some good friends to that, and it's just, it needs to be cured. Let me give you the information. They're still taking donations, and it's an ongoing thing. It's docancerfund.org, docancerfund.org. If you can afford it, give them a little bit of help. It's a good cause and good people, and it was very interesting. I saw pictures of the show, and it was very interesting. But anyway, let's go ahead to break, and then I'll start to I'll introduce my guest. I want to get right into it. We got some interesting stuff, and he's been playing a little bit, warming up before the show, and it's really kind of cool what he's doing. So I want to get into that. But we'll be right back. We're going to take a break, and then we will be back with our guest, Nick Kai.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here, one of the many guitar freaks at Sweetwater, proud to support the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts Show. Check out our 24 months no-interest financing now online. There are tons of brands offering this only through Sweetwater, including Marshall, Gibson Custom Shop, and Fender Custom Shop. Go to Sweetwater.com and click on the easy financing link in the lower right-hand corner to apply. Or call us at 800-222-4700 to speak to a professional guitar enthusiast directly. This week, The Flow welcomes 13-year-old guitar phenom Nick Kai. Wait till you hear this kid. He's amazing. Rocking Marshall amps, Gibson guitars, and Dunlop pedals, Nick is primed to take over the title of latest super hot guitarist, so don't miss it. Enjoy Nick Kai on this week's Flow, and be sure to check out our 24 months no-interest special financing at Sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Thanks for listening, and this is Kenny Burgle with Sweetwater saying rock on with the Flow.
Hi, I'm Richard Kotze from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
Welcome back. Okay, let's get into it. This our guest tonight, very interesting history in music. It's a very, even though it's he's the youngest guy we've had on the show. You are the youngest person we've had on here. He started at 9 years old. He's currently 13, if I'm correct. But by 10, he won the LA Music Awards for Best Rock Guitarist of the Year. That's amazing. In 1 year, he's just blasting away. In 2012, he was nominated for the Metal Hammer Golden God Awards in the UK. And he's
said that much better than I did. I totally hosed that.
Well, I played when I was young, but I don't think I was ready for the LA Music Awards, even though they didn't exist back then, but we won't get into that. Anyway, so, yes, it's just an amazing career, and he's just getting better and better and getting more attention. He's now the management company for Motorhead and Anthrax are interested in him, and they're backing him now. And he has a band called Chemical Kill, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we want to welcome Nick Kai to the show. Welcome, Nick. It's great to have you here.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Now, let me ask you, I know probably everybody said, when did you start guitar and how did you do that? And I understand, you know, you just started picking it up and started playing it. But what I wanted to know, how you were able to, I mean, the ability is just incredible. How limber you are in playing. Did you just hear it in your head, or did you didn't?
When I first started?
Yeah, when you first started.
Well, no, I had a few lessons, like how to read tablature and all that, and you know, just I had like a few scales, just like pentatonic is what I started at.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really like sat there and practiced. It was more of just I got into recording songs and all that, so. That kind of was my practice at the time. So for learning, I just used, you know, tablature online for like other songs. Like I would learn like Avenged Sevenfold songs and Metallica and stuff like that.
So your ear, incredible ear for you to be able to hear all that stuff, because you basically listened to all those mm-hmm. records and just started picking up mm-hmm. the leads. I mean, did you slow down the records like some guys I know have done that?
But. No, I would just keep rewinding and rewinding it and just listening to the note, and then I just go note by note.
Oh, okay. That's cool. No, that's pretty good because I tried to learn it real time. It took a little while, and I always messed it up a little bit, but it was interesting that you would be able to do that. But your ability, your limberness in your hands, is that's probably a very that's incredible. How limber you are. I'm just trying to remember.
You mean
your dexterity, I mean, for you to play that fast. Actually, I have the amp set up. If you want to just give us a little riff or something. And I just
like
want
a solo?
Yeah, just just something real quick.
Okay.
Thanks. Now, that's pretty cool. I mean, when I was 10, I probably never even heard that. But then again, it was a different time. But anyway, it's pretty good. I mean, I'm really impressed by your tone. You have a great sound. You are endorsed by – you use Epiphone guitars right now. You're using exclusively Epiphones. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to mention in the show right now, he's borrowing my guitar. It's a Gibson, but in the studio, I had this guitar with me, so he's using that right now. But tell me a little bit about your Epiphone. What model is that?
Every year they give me a few guitars, but I usually order the it's called an Epiphone Prophecy. Mm-hmm. So I usually get the Les Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And then, are you talking about what I use right now?
Yeah.
I just switch between cars. I switch between guitars. Like, have you ever heard of Trivium band? Mm-hmm. Their guitar player Matt. I use his guitar, which is an Epiphone Les Paul, basically, and it's got EMGs, 81 to 85s, I believe, and I'm using that right now to record and play live, and then I use a white custom Les Paul and a black custom Les Paul.
An Epiphone Les Paul?
Epiphones. All Epiphones. And then an Epiphone Prophecy is what I usually...
And what pick I mean. Are there all EMGs
They're
in
all
those?
EMG 81 to 85.
Now, the one that I've seen on the videos, that like walnut finish... like a Les Paul, looks like
that's the Prophecy.
That's the Prophecy, mm-hmm. and those are the EMGs.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you like active pickups over the passive?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Or you have any?
Well, I mean, I have passive pickups other than active because I have this guy David Allen pickups. He makes me custom pickups, so he sent me like a pack. So I've used those over. Those are amazing. Because they're custom by him.
Now, they're like passive or they're active?
Yes, they're passive. So those are like the only passive ones that I would use. Because I usually don't like the tone. Almost like tube amps over solid state.
Mm-hmm.
I would use tube. So it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's just go down the signal trial of what you're using. So you're using those guitars,
mm-hmm.
and then what kind of strings do you use?
I use Dunlops. Well, it just depends on, the gauge depends on what song I'm playing, but right now our band is in drop C, so I use 12 to 54s.
Okay, so he's using a heavy...
Or metalcore strings. You can buy those at, like, a guitar center.
Okay, so you're... But you're using a drop tuning.
Yes.
So you're using a heavier gauge with a lower
mm-hmm.
a lower tuning. Okay. Now, then going from there, do you have a pedal board or you just go directly into the?
I go directly into it. For my show coming up on the 28th, my label showcase, we're going to be giving out some prizes and whatever, some giveaways for some fans and whatnot. But for that show, I'm probably just going to use a booster and a tuner.
Okay. What kind of booster?
It's by Dunlop. I forget the exact name. But it's one of the newer model boosters, and it just boosts your gain and your volume.
Just a straight, clean mm-hmm. boost. Straight boost, okay. You don't use any, like, a phaser, flanger,
mm-mm.
no wahs?
Mm-mm.
Okay. And then what kind of amps are you using?
Right now, me and my other guitar player, we use Marshall DSL 2000s.
Okay.
I switch heads between the TSLs and DSLs, but right now it's the DSL.
I'm just curious what you perceive as the difference between those heads.
The difference between DSL and TSL?
In terms for you and sound. I'm curious, because I know a lot of guys are real into the DSLs now.
The only reason I like the TSL is because it's triple super lead, so it almost gives you more gain. But with the booster, if you boost it, you don't really need it. But with the DSL, it's a little bit more heavier bass sound than the TSL.
Mm-hmm.
They're both 2000s, but the one that I'm using now is more of like what you would use for like breakdowns and that type of stuff, so it's super heavy. And it doesn't have any feedback at all.
Okay. Are you using the channel switching that much, or are you pretty much straight out?
Yes, I use a channel switcher. It comes with the amps.
The DSL is two-channel, right?
It's
a
yes,
two-channel
yeah.
switch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, that's good. Have you tried any of the other Marshalls? Like the
JVMs I've used, and then I've used the Slash Edition and all that.
How do you like those?
Those are really good. I went to London, and I played. It's just called – I looked at the amp. It didn't have any like a name or anything. It just said Vintage, and that one was probably the best one I've ever played. Like, I didn't want to leave the room to stop playing that amp. It was really good.
Okay. It wasn't, like, their reissue Plexi or...
It just said Vintage on it. That's it.
Okay. Because I was curious. A lot of guys were using before the Vintage Modern, where it had the Hendrix type of power stage on it, and then it was, like, the Modern Gain stage. Have you ever tried that,
mm-hmm.
the Vintage Modern?
Mm-mm.
Because that was another one that was popular. Though the DSL... 2000 now seems to be a lot of. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that.
Mm-hmm. That one's
amp.
A really good
I mean,
amp.
It's basically one of their older amps. But you've never. What about JCM 800s or any of those?
JCM 800 was actually the one that I first wanted to order from Marshall. My original setup with that from like my first few recordings ever was a JCM 800 with an Ibanez Tube Screamer.
Oh, wow.
Which, just to boost the gain a lot and make it heavier. But.
Okay, so that's it, because Scott's a big Tube Screamer.
Mm-hmm. I used to use a Tube Screamer with it.
Oh, that's cool. Now, your cabinets, the standard Marshall cabinet, any preference in the Celestians, or are you just using the stock?
Just the stock that comes with the...
I think he's using the 75, the newer cab. It's the black cabinet with the big Marshall script on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's usually the newer 75 water speakers. It's like more of the...
Yeah.
As opposed to the greenbacks or something like that. So that's pretty straightforward mm-hmm. then. And then also, too, now, I've seen you on some of the videos playing acoustic guitar. What are you using?
That's called a Master Built.
Okay.
That's an Epiphone, yes.
Epiphone?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you – have you tried any of the other ones of theirs, or is that the
– Just Master Built for
– It now. Sounded nice. I mean, what
yeah,
I heard on the
that
video.
That one's a really good one. I've used that for all my live performances at Gibson.
I just want to mention, too, he has a channel on YouTube. Then just look up Nick Kai, N-I-K-K-A-I, and you can see some of these videos of him playing and stuff. Now, except for the pickups, have you done any other mods on your guitars, or you've had
No,
anything?
I just go straight forward. I don't really use, same thing with pedals and everything. I just go straight forward.
Okay. And you sometimes, we were talking a little bit before the show, sometimes you use tremolo, but most of your guitars
Floyd's.
Are not.
I have a few Floyd guitars, just I haven't used them because the jack broke. But as soon as I get that fixed, I'm definitely going to start using those.
Okay. And Epiphone, you have an Epiphone with the Floyd on it?
Yes.
Okay, so you have that. But have you used any other any other type of bridge or tremolo?
Mm-mm. Just a Floyd Rose.
So this is a first for him because the guitar he's using right now has a Bigsby on it. So just wanted to throw that in there. But anyway, it's no big deal. But that's pretty interesting. So you use that sometimes. You use the Floyd. Now, have you done anything else interesting or unusual with the guitar? Is that like for a recording? Have you?
No. Well, I try to just to go straightforward with everything. That's why I don't use that many pedals. Is because when I try to shred live, I try not to hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I know some guitar players might use some pedals that can cover it, but I try not to. I try to keep everything as clean as I can.
Okay. That's interesting. It's pretty straight back to basics type of playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, also, too, I just want to mention that for today, because I have my little amp in here, we do have a little mini Marshall in here. It's solid state, but it gets a pretty good crunch sound out of it. Let me ask you now, too, also, you have a great feel for bending. I love the way you do your bends and your tone. Mm-hmm. Let me ask
I've developed a few techniques for like the whole bending and all that.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It just over the time that I've been playing. Yeah, if we just move that.
Let me pull this.
Yeah. So
go ahead and time. I'm gonna put it behind you.
Over the time that I've been playing, it's just developed as different techniques from different players and whatnot. You know.
Okay.
So.
Sorry, I was adjusting his. Headphone cable was getting in the way. But give us a little bit of example. So what are you talking about?
When you bend, I kind of go like Steve Vai. He mm-hmm. does this thing where it's like he does this kind of.
He rolls his finger.
Yeah, exactly. It's like like that. So I kind of do that and do a vibrato while bending at the same time.
Okay.
So it gives like a... like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do that in one of my solos for one of our songs from Chemical Kill.
Mm-hmm. Now, you tend, from what I'm seeing of what you've been playing here, and just might be because of my guitar, you tend to go to the bass pickup more, right?
Or you mean rhythm?
Rhythm pickup.
Yeah, mostly for, like, to make it cleaner. When you, like, when you do that, it makes it cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
The
reason for doing that.
So you tend to use that more than the treble. When I
play the songs, that I usually go into the bass when I go into solos, like into the rhythm section.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I use that for, so I can go
mm-hmm.
faster.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. Do you ever play around with the tone? So like the woman tone, like Clapton, where you back off the. He basically backs off the...
Oh, yeah, the volume, so it makes it clean. Yeah, before I got the channel switcher for my amp, that's what I would do, and then I just switch back mm-hmm. and forth, so when I go to clean, I would just turn down the volume.
Oh, okay. What else have you... besides the bending now, you use your pick when you tap, right?
Yeah, I use my pick, and I turn it a little bit to the side.
Okay. Can you go ahead and play a little bit like that? It's an interesting... Okay, that's great. The pick is interesting. We were talking about this before the show. I've seen other guys use the pick a little more. Mm-hmm. It's kind of actually
a rare thing.
It actually articulates a little bit more. And I was telling him it's before his time, but Steve Hackett from Genesis was doing that. But it's
when I first started and when I learned how to tap, I was using my fingers. But then I started using the pick, and it just seemed a lot easier and more fluent.
Mm-hmm. Now, I notice that you use you're using a C tuning right now?
Okay. No, on your guitar, I'm actually playing D.
Okay.
In D, because I didn't want the strings to be too loose.
So how are the, in your, go, let's go down the line on your strings. So how are your strings tuned on the C tuning?
It's C, G, C, F, A, D.
Okay. That's an interesting way. That's interesting. That's really, I'm used to using concert pitch myself, so it's different, though. I've used some D tunings for folk, but... Mm-hmm. But anyway, so you like the you just like
I'm sorry.
Well, no, a lot of the folks, it's unusual to see. I mean, Steve Vai now uses a lot of different tunings and strange things, but that's where I've seen most of the bizarre tunings. So, but anyway, you like that low C string. You like that real low sound.
Yeah, it makes it, because the type of music we play is more like a, like almost like heavier metal pop type of like jumping type of music. So when people feel that low bass sound, then it affects them more than, you know, just regular.
Okay.
So Nick, are you going to be the guy that's going to push Epiphone to make like a 7-string?
They do make 7-strings, and for our next album, that's what I want to use.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
And I believe it's drop A, because drop B in 7-string, I believe, is like standard tuning for 6.
Do you have you ever used a 7-string yet?
No, but I mean, I've played them before, but I've never like recorded or anything with them or played live, but I'm sure it's not that hard.
That's cool. But I mean, now how would you tune it? Would you leave it?
I haven't gotten into the tuning with, because it's a way different like type of tuning. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it'd be drop A.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 2 more steps down from C, I believe.
Yeah. So you would be able to, well, it would be interesting if you used the C tuning with the drop A.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also want to do it to enhance my sweeping. So like I can sweep on 7 strings instead of just 5 or 6.
Okay, show us the
sweeps.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'd be like a... Like I do when I sweep, I usually tap while sweeping.
Yeah, what he was doing right there, that last note that he hit was actually he hit it with your pick, right?
No, with my finger.
With your finger, but he tapped it at the very end. Do it again.
So it's like, it's like that. So you're tapping.
Yeah, he's
right
actually
as you hit the last note.
Yeah, Scott, we'll have a video of this showing what he's doing, but it's fascinating what you're doing. It works really well, and
because when you sweep, I'll make it a little bit cleaner. So it's like, so I'm actually tapping. So it's just really fast. So it doesn't sound, you don't hear the.
Yeah, no, you're.
And I usually play. I believe this is 22 frets. I usually play in 24 frets.
Yeah.
So you don't miss at all.
Mm-hmm.
When I usually do like our song Escaping the Enemy, I play a 24 fret, so I don't go off.
Oh, okay. So the Epiphones are 24.
The one that I play for that specific song.
Oh, okay. But the that Les Paul type one, the I forget
Prophecy?
The Prophecy.
Yes, the Prophecies are 24.
There are 24. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I remember some were made, but I most of the Gibsons are 22 or 22 frets. So. Mm-hmm. But, no, it's real. Your articulation's just really clean when you – even without the gain, you're getting all the notes really. It's just
I usually try to play, like, right about there.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. But anyway, so let's talk a little bit more about that. With the let's talk a little bit about your band for a minute. And what kind of, how would you categorize the sound of that?
I would put it into like a post-hardcore, mainstream, pop metal. So more like alternative metal.
Okay. So it's not like
It's like all the newer stuff, but mainstream. So not so much screaming, more like the mainstream type of.
So the vocals are, they're not doing that type of grunge.
No, we have that. We have that in our songs, but it's more of like a. Like a feel type of scream, other than just screaming the entire song.
And then you're in the band, you're doing double leads with the other guitar player?
Yeah, we're doing dual leads. Not in all the solos, but we do it like on our song Escaping the Enemy. We both do sweeping together.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to practice the sweeping together. We do it in harmony, and then we tap in harmony. We play the entire solo in harmony.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, check out the videos, because there's a video of you guys both playing, just doing some stuff solo by yourself. And it's amazing because he's doing all that real speedy stuff, and they're harmonizing, and it's really tight. That's really interesting too. Yeah, it's really good. Well, let's talk a little bit about Chemical Kill, and we can bring in some of the guys, and we can talk to them briefly. How did you get into this band, and what is the what happened?
Well, I actually started this band about a year and a half ago, and we've been through some members and whatnot. And now we're to this band. So everything's happened for a reason to get where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a label showcase on the 28th. So whoever's listening, if you could come out in Hollywood, the Whiskey Go-Go on the 28th. So the Friday that's coming up.
Yeah, and if you want to look them up on the web, it's K-E-M-I-C-A-L.
Yeah, Chemical Kill.
So not your normal.
And you guys are also playing. I saw something that was sent to me that you guys are playing on the 5th of April.
Yeah, we're playing at Club Loaded in Hollywood on the 5th.
Okay. And so yeah, that's another place to check out too. And I think if you check on their Facebook, on Nick's Facebook page, which is Nick Kai Entertainment Official, if you look that up, you'll be able to see them. Okay. Anyway, the band is in here. We just pulled the band in. Go ahead over to the or turn the mic towards them, and just introduce yourselves and what instrument you play. I know we're missing some of the players.
Well, I'm Tyler Morgan. I play rhythm guitar and harmony vocals.
Oh, cool.
And I'm Izzy Max. I play bass, and I also do harmony vocals.
Cool. And I'm Rebel Angel, and I play keyboards in the band.
And we're the only guys that we don't have here is the lead vocalist Shane Zim and the drummer Juice Cabrera, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So, well, wait a minute. Let's talk to Tyler for a minute, and let's talk about these double leads. Yeah. We were just going into about the double leads. So you guys are both how do you guys work those out? That's some pretty interesting stuff to keep that all tight.
Usually when we write our solos, it's usually during recording.
Yeah.
And as we write them with the songs and whatnot. So, you know, me and him just practice together we'd just go note by note and figure out the harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of put it all together and, you know, play it faster and we work.
Now, are you guys, when you guys work out the music, are you just, Nick, are you just writing the songs?
No.
Or you guys, it's all
No,
group?
We all, well, like one of us will write a riff and then we'll show another band member and then they will put their input on it and then we all just start basing it off that first riff.
Oh, okay. So it's a collaborative. It's a collaborative thing, and you guys now you haven't officially recorded an album, but we
do have demos though.
You have demos, so but it's basically in the showcase. You got a little album format. You're gonna
exactly. So all of our recordings are in just basically demos, not fully like produced and whatnot in the studio, but we have it on SoundCloud.
Oh, okay.
And
just Nick Kai?
Yeah, it's soundcloud.com/Nick Kai.
Nick Kai. Okay, so you can check out what they're doing and what's happening with them. That's interesting. So the Whiskey A Go-Go, March 28th, and Club Loaded, April 5th.
Yeah.
That sounds good. And let me ask you real quick, too. Let me talk a little bit about the thing last week with Ronnie James Dio, because you were around some pretty heavy players, and you've played and sat in with some pretty heavy bands, right?
Yeah, we're actually with Corey Taylor backstage and with the Ripper and everyone else that was on stage playing with all the Dio songs, like the covers, live.
Did you play that night?
No, I didn't play, but we did go downstairs in the VIP section.
Because I've seen some videos of you playing with some other bands. I think for that UK thing, there was some for the Metal Hammer. There was a
That was just me, Five Finger Death Punch, or not Five Finger Death Punch, but the guitar player Zoltan. It was me, him, Sabaton, and Hell. We all basically went against each other, type of thing. We didn't play, but we did go to the Golden Gods in London.
Oh, okay. But I mean, you guys didn't sit in and jam together.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Because it looked like, from the video, it looked like you guys were all playing together. But anyway, so what was it like at that, at the benefit, meeting all those guys? There's some pretty amazing players, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've met Corey Taylor before at a few places.
Okay.
And then everyone else was a first-time thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who's the guitar player you want to meet you haven't yet?
Alexi Leho, I haven't met him yet. I might actually do a track with him, possibly, which would be awesome.
Have you been able to meet Mr. Vi yet?
Yeah, I've met him.
Have you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you been able to play with him yet?
No, I haven't played with him yet.
Hopefully he will.
He will, eventually. Yeah. It'll all come to that. No, your career is just taking off. It's great. What's the... let me ask you this, then... any other instrument that interests you that's, you know, other than guitar, or do you play any other instruments?
Yeah, I play a little bit of piano. I mess around on drums every once in a while. I definitely want to learn that because it'll help me with my rhythm section and guitar. So I play piano. I want to get into violin and cello, and then I'm going to do, I do vocals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
you do vocals in the band, so you're
we're
all singing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But the the piano, did you, you know, none of that? You took lessons? You're just self-taught on mm-hmm. that? All of that self-taught. And what are you listening to now, other than your stuff?
Oh, you mean like bands?
Bands and stuff. What do you listen to inspire your playing?
When we're in the car, whenever we're driving, which is usually always, Izzy usually plays random stuff. So me and Tyler usually listen to like Memphis Mayfire or any of the newer post-hardcore bands.
Okay. What do you got? Well, let's ask the guys. What do you guys are listening to now?
Like, just for me in general, what I listen to?
Yeah.
Oh, man. In general, I listen to, you know, Bull for My Valentine, Avenged Sevenfold, The Murder Dolls, Slipknot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also really into 80s rock, so, you know, I'll listen to, like, Warrant, Poison. Skid Row was in the 90s, so I used to listen to Skid Row with Sebastian
okay.
Bach.
Well, that's it. No, I want to know what your influences are. What about you, Iz?
A little bit of everything as far as in the rock and metal genre. But I would definitely say Fight Star. I was big on Breaking Benjamin, but I guess they're no longer together. But bands like that, and then, you know, I'll kind of go from that to, like... to the 80s, like, listen to some Extreme once in a while, you know, little rock ballads, and then sometimes some Dio.
Go back to the classics.
Metallica, yeah. Aerosmith, you know, it just depends on the mood, I guess.
Yeah. What about you, Rebel?
I'm a big 80s fan, you know, I feel like I was probably born in the wrong time, but, you know, I love anything from the 80s, a huge Guns N' Roses fan, but, you know, I'm a pretty big Avenged Sevenfold fan, too, and...
Well, like what's your influences for keyboards? That'll be interesting.
Influences for keyboards? I'm actually a big Elton John fan and stuff like that.
Cool.
So, yeah, had all his albums and stuff.
Yeah, he's
from
a great rhythm player.
Like way
player.
Back, like Tumbleweed Connection and stuff. And
yeah.
So it's cool.
Did you ever get into the prog guys like Wakeman or Mraz?
Not
or
yet.
Emerson?
I'm trying to expand my horizons and
yeah.
stuff. So.
Now,
but it's cool.
Elton John was one of the best rhythm keyboard players. He's a great rhythm player.
Yeah.
I always thought that was pretty good. So, but, that's interesting. It's a pretty varied influences there. And then, but it's interesting that the 80s still come in. So they're into like that genre of.
I guess you guys probably didn't listen to Nelson, did you? I'm not going to lie. That was my favorite band when I was a kid. I can still sadly name.
They're looking at you like.
I know, they're looking at me
you
bad.
Have
but
leprosy or something.
It's fine. I can sadly name all the members of that band. It's terrible to even admit, but. Yes.
That's cool. Whatever floats your boat.
Well, you know. Hey, they had a keyboard player, Paul Merkovich.
There you go.
Yeah. I know the band. I can say I do know of the band. I didn't really listen to them much. But then again, I can always escape and say I was the generation before you. But Elton John, yeah, I saw him in concert years ago, and he was just amazing. He's an amazing showman back in the day when he was, I think it was Yellow Brick Road was the tour.
That's a great record,
It was a killer tour. He was really good.
All his stuff, even his new stuff's good.
Yeah, no, that's true. But it's interesting, yeah, the 80s influence on you guys. Now, I noticed that you had told me before, too, that you do play some blues, but you're not really you're not really influenced by a lot of the blues players or the rock, like Clapton, Page, no influence?
Well, they're great guitar players, but I never really, like, sat there and listened to them. But mm-hmm. I do play blues.
So you guys never were into Zeppelin?
I'm a huge Zeppelin fan.
You gotta be a Zeppelin fan.
That's like the big name drop. Oh, no, what about Zeppelin? Oh, all right.
I'm a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan. That's
Stevie Ray Vaughan. Okay.
Yeah,
no Hendrix influence.
Oh,
you gotta have.
Oh,
Hendrix
of course
influence.
You gotta have Hendrix. Yeah.
Well, I've never really listened to that generation. So.
Oh, that's it. Oh, that's really well. That's cool.
He will.
Oh, it'll the blues will always eventually come back. I mean, it's hard rock is all blues based, so
it all
you
comes
know.
From the source.
He's got it in his fingers and his blood.
Oh, he does some of the phrasing. That's what's incredible. I mean, I know he's picking it up from people that were influenced by Hendrix, but it's interesting because a lot of his tonality when he bends and stuff, really, you're getting that kind of tone. I mean, that was one of the things that was really great. You know, Hendrix had just could make you know. Anything sound great. I mean, he really just had different sessions that he did with other players. His tonal spectrum was just amazing. He did a lot of stuff, you know, and he redefined the wah-wah. He used it as a tone switch as opposed to, he would vary it very slightly while he was playing as opposed to everybody just whack, 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 you know, that kind of a thing.
He definitely made the fuzz tone sound really epic, like very, very...
Yes, him with the fuzz face was that was.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
We used all that stuff back then. It was a big deal.
You just got to know how to use it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Plus, who doesn't like Voodoo Child, you know?
Of course.
That's true. But where do you guys want to go now? Let's see. Now that you, I mean, right now you're the focus is on you're going for the deal right now. But where do you guys think you're going to stretch out in any other areas of music? Where would you like to go if you were already established and you had, you know, you could do anything you want?
Well, actually, in rock or just in general music? Well, actually, I'm doing the whole like a Skrillex dubstep thing right now, along with my career and whatnot.
Can you explain that? I don't
I guess EDM. It's called electronic dance music, like raves.
Oh wow,
like that type of stuff. So I make that too.
So you're using sequencers and programming that type of stuff.
Finally, we get to hit the bubble button. Hit the bubble button. I'm sorry.
So you're actually using a lot of you're using sequencers and synths and samplers?
Yeah, like synths and yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's kind of a difference.
We're actually gonna put some of that EDM stuff in our band's music.
Oh, okay.
For live, so it'll sound really, really cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah, I think Rebel, you're gonna have a lot of little sequencers in the back over there.
The way Nick learns, I mean, I'm playing catch up all the time anyways because he's so crazy. I mean, he's great at whatever he does. The EDM music is going to be amazing. So he's got a lot of talent. So.
Now, you haven't posted any of that stuff.
Yes, I have, actually. It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube. Okay.
And there's links on it. And I'll probably put it on SoundCloud as well.
Okay. What's the – give me the name of this of a song that we can look for.
There's two. There's The Beginning. So you can type in YouTube, Nick Kai – space The Beginning, or you can put Nick Kai space This Is It.
The Beginning and This Is It. Okay, yeah, that'll be kind of interesting.
So let me ask you guys, are you guys using any iPad apps as part of your sound live at all, especially maybe with keyboard or anything like that at home?
No.
Okay. And you haven't used any plugins, like the virtual amps and stuff like that?
Live?
No, not live, but in the studio where you've used like an iRig or something like that where you...
Not from that, no, but we have used VST plugins, but not from
the amp simulations or whatever.
No, for amps on some of the stuff, but now since we got our new amps in from Marshall because they just sent us the two DSLs, mm-hmm. we're probably going to mic those and just use those from now on.
Well, and I'm a big fan of moving air and putting a microphone in front of an amp, so I'll just say that right now, but... I want to know, what do you think of some of these virtual plugins?
They're pretty accurate, actually.
So they're pretty close.
They're really close, yeah.
Because I've been fooled. I mean, I'm usually pretty good with amps. And like we had Steve Hunter on that played with Alice Cooper, and he was using a lot on his new album, Midnight Blue. And I was blown away. Oh, no, that was I just plugged into my laptop and played that.
Yeah, like, exactly. Wow. It sounds very real.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing comes close to
no,
Marshall,
that's true. Moving air. Well, rock and roll, you got to move air. It's just, right. That's what it is. Give me a 4x12s or 8x12s, and you'll hear a difference. That's for sure. Now, you guys, when you use the Marshall, are you using a full stack or a half stack?
We're using a half stack, but live, I want to set up a full stack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And have you used live yet a full stack?
No, I've only used half stack.
Okay, because I'm curious what you think of.
But for Izzy's. Bass amps, we're actually going to set. Well, what we'll do is have two on top of each other.
Oh, okay.
For the cabinets. So it'll basically be a full stack for his bass amp.
Okay. Well, when you use the full stack for your guitars, both of you guys for the guitars, mm-hmm. I want to know if you hear a difference. I noticed a difference from using an angled cabinet and the straight cabinet. When you use them together, it has a little more meat to it, a little more low end. And I'm not talking about the extended, like, Hendrix 4x12 cabinet, which was a bigger cabinet, which was more resonant. But, I mean, there is a difference. The angled cabinet's a bright cabinet, but when you add the bottom one, it just reinforces it a little bit. If you like that low-end chunk,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I'm curious. You guys are going to have to come back and tell me if you hear, you know, what your impression is of using that full stack with the angled and the straight cabinet. Because it is a little different sound, and there's a little bit more air in there, so it resonates a little differently. And I'm just curious what you guys think of that. So, let's if you're up to it, Can you show some other interesting things that you're developing now that you're playing, so we can give the people a little bit idea of your technique?
What would you like me to show you?
Well, you showed us some tapping. Can you show us more of the where you're going up and down the board, where you're doing more of those slide?
No. Not. Are you talking about like or are you talking about speed picking?
Well, both. Okay, because you do the speed picking well, too.
Yeah, speed picking is like there's a difference between that, and then there's a staccato and legato. Okay. So there's two, you know, the two difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, so there's those two. And then, so I do both. It just depends on what I'm playing. But, like, I can go from speed picking to legato. So like that type of, or you could just use all.
Now, are you picking every note, or are you hammering?
With the legato, I'm not picking every note, but when I speed pick, I hit every note.
But you, okay, so go ahead and demonstrate a little bit there.
The speed picking?
Yeah, go do the speed picking.
Okay. So. Speed picking.
And Scott's showing it a little bit. He's got his, have you ever tried circle picking?
Actually, that's funny that I was just about to bring that up. Not for speed picking, but when you pick each note individually, like. Like that. I circle pick, actually. I just started doing that. So I'm still working on that whole motion. So it would be like. And then I want to go from that to circle eight picking.
Okay. Slow that down for a minute. And I'm going to describe a little quick. I'm watching your hand as you're picking. Just play that riff again a little bit slower. And I want to see, because you're not always playing just all downstrokes, and you're not.
No,
you're doing like a mixture of upstrokes, downstrokes. You weren't actually, from what I was seeing there, you weren't always going up and down, up and down.
No, well, like I said, I do legato and that, so it looks like I'm doing that. So it's like a. Well, actually, I'll play it on clean. So it'd be like a. So it'd be like. See, like I'll do like a run, and then I'll just pick it and let it go. So like,
yeah,
like that. That you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because you can. Yeah, you're combining the two, and you're using that.
Same thing. It was like going like.
Yeah, you're basically hammering. You're just
It's just legato.
You're doing thirds. But it's interesting because a lot of the guys use circle picking for that. Across the board, those arpeggios, like Frank Gambale.
Well, actually, for the arpeggios, when I sweep, I just drag the pick across the string, so it's like, and then I just come back.
Okay, but have you ever done all the way down and up and down and up and?
Like, yeah, like.
Oh, okay, answered my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's where I've seen most of the circle picking was for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's where they get the speed. That's where they
Well, I just do this. That's how I started out at sweeping. Drag the pick across the strings. And then once you get that motion down of just like, just dragging the pick, not necessarily picking every note.
Okay.
And that's how you get the motion of like.
Now, what's your approach to getting, because you do squeal, you get the squeal and the honk of the.
Well, it really just depends on like the amp, the pickups, the guitar. It just depends on all of it.
Are you doing anything with your pick?
No, it's just how you do a pinch harmonic.
Oh, okay.
So you just hit the pick and then you skin
pinch harmonic. Okay, so you're doing it, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So there's no like technique necessarily for it.
Okay, you're doing it like.
But like if I'm playing live and I miss the squeal, you can actually tap it. Because I use a lot of gain live. Like I almost turn it all the way up, but then I turn the presence and treble a little bit down so it's not as gainy, so it doesn't feed back.
Mm-hmm.
So if I miss the squeal, you can hit it with your finger and it still squeals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like, and then it'll squeal after.
Now you just tapped it right there.
Yeah, so you could go like this, and then you could hit it barely.
Okay, try that with the gain.
So be like, see?
Oh, okay, so he's tapping to get the harmonic. He's basically going up an octave, but it's giving that. It gives
well, it's like when you tap it, some people that do it, which is kind of rare, people usually just try and get it. If you hit it, and then like you can do that, or you can hit it with this. So you could go like that.
Can
so
you pretty much hit it anywhere, or are you hitting it?
Yeah, I can hit it anywhere. With my guitar, I can do it. And my setup, I can do it anywhere. Like, I have solos. Like, from our song In Loving You. What I usually do right here, I go. I do like a bend and a squeal at the same time. So it's like.
Yeah. So, okay, because some guys use the. They'll tap it at the octave or the second octave.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about like a. Oops. So you're talking about like a. Talking about like that?
To get that tap.
Well, yeah, so going back to the octaves, so like people let go, like.
Because when you were tapping that lower string, it sounded more like that type
like
of
octave.
Sound. Yeah.
Well, like I said, with a lot of gain, it's more of a pinch harmonic. Because if you think about it, all you're doing is hitting your skin for a pinch harmonic.
Yeah.
Hitting the pick in your skin.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as hitting the pick and then tapping it.
No, that's true. No, you got it down. I mean, you're hitting all of those right. I mean, it's amazing. You can you can hit a harmonic almost in every note on your guitar. It sounds like that you can be doing it. I find it difficult sometimes. Some of the guitar, depending on the strings, some of the, like my Les Paul, when I use a certain set of strings, I can hit a harmonic, I can squeal on any note, but on other ones, it's like you got to really work for it.
It just depends on your entire guitar tone, your whole setup, it depends on it. Like, for our songs, like when I'm just sitting there playing, I'll usually do like a like that. So I just do like squeals here and there.
Now let me ask Tyler for a minute. Your approach in playing and with him, is your technique similar to?
Yeah, it's funny. We're actually exactly the same.
Yeah, we're pretty much the same guitar player. It's really funny. It's crazy because I've never played with anybody who's been an equal guitar player as me, and then for me, I'm trying to be an equal guitar player as him. But it's funny how we're just exactly the same.
Yeah, like our techniques since we've been playing together, because we have a lot of chemistry together as guitar players.
Right, right.
So like our technique and how we've developed together is exactly the same.
Right.
So like
but I mean, when you came into the band, you were already that similar because you guys have influenced each other. But
yeah, we were pretty close to it.
But now it's just changed over the year and a half that we've been playing together. Like our techniques have developed together more than just him coming in, and then we know the same stuff.
Now, do you do the sweep picking like he does, and the circle picking? Mm-hmm. Are you doing the circle picking too?
Well, we're both working on it.
Yeah,
because I just started. I just started.
But live when we do like Escaping the Enemy, that has a dual solo on it. So
yeah,
like
we both
he was doing earlier.
Yeah, so it's like
we harmonize that tapping and even the
his sweep is like up here. It's like we also harmonize the tap sweep, so it's like that's his right, and then mine's. That's my harmony of his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we both do it together live, and it sounds sweet. I'm really, really stoked to be playing with this guy. He's an amazing guitar player. He's an awesome person. And, it's really cool to play with him.
No, it's great to, it's great as to be good friends and think like that.
Unfortunately, Nick doesn't feel the same way for him.
Yeah, so. I can tell. He's like,
oh, thanks.
No, it's good. I mean, when I was younger, I played with my brother.
It's funny, me and him are pretty much brothers.
we fought a lot, but it actually made the band.
I've known this guy for about maybe a year and a couple months now, and I've been working with him for about a year and a couple months, and man, it's been a long, crazy road. But I mean,
now, how long have you been playing?
I've been playing guitar since I was 6, so about 12 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good,
I'm only 18. I don't look that old.
It's great. I think it's really a great thing that we're seeing guitarists starting at a young age. That's just killer.
Yeah. Well, my dad was a musician, actually, and my mom wasn't really a musician. My dad was a musician, and I remember listening to Ted Nugent. That was one of my first albums, and he was just like, yeah, check out this song, and he showed me Storm Troopin', and so I was listening to that, and that's how it kind of took off. I was like, oh, my God, this is so sweet, and of course, you listen to, Stranglehold and stuff. So, yeah, that's how I started out.
Oh, that's cool. Now, anybody else in your family, Nick, that musical?
No.
You're it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were really young, if you can remember, was music played a lot in your house all the time?
No, actually, I used to listen to a lot of like R&B back when before like the whole guitar thing. I didn't start listening to metal until I was like 10 or 11.
Okay, but there was music, a lot of music.
Yeah, mainly R&B, like all that.
No, the reason I'm asking that is when I was in school, we had one of my teacher was he actually taught Lee Ritenour, who's a big session jazz guy. And he was studying prodigies. They were studying starting kids at a young age. And the key was that he felt was that you listen if you expose them to all this music, they start piecing it together. And like at about five or six, they'll start formulating ideas and start actually playing. So most of the people I know that are really musical, not necessarily young, but all my friends that are playing music in their families, the radio was always on. And I was just curious if you were exposed to a lot of music. No, shaking your head. No.
No, I mean, I wasn't really exposed to a lot, but there was always like that whole music was always played, but I was never necessarily paying attention. Like before I was even able to speak.
You were hearing it. That's the thing.
Yeah, I was always hearing it, and like I was trying to sing without even knowing how to talk.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I mean, what I'm saying is that's what I think he was saying, was that if you hear it, whether you're sitting there, it's not a matter of you're sitting or listening to it, but that you're exposed to music. It's because they also found what was really interesting with prodigies was, and Duke had told me this, was the earlier you learn to learn, the longer you retain it. So, like, at that time, the guy they were studying
brain muscle memory. So if you not know how to learn so fast, as you get older, you can.
Yeah, like Rachmaninoff, they studied, the virtuoso piano player, and he at 80 could learn a new piece. Most people, after later on in life, it's more difficult for them to learn something new, and he was able to, he could learn a brand new piece and perform it, and so the earlier you start, it's great that you guys were playing early and going, because you'll probably be able to keep playing and rocking, as it's being proven now that rock is much farther. It used to be a teenage thing. It's not, you can go on. Look at Keith Richards, God bless him. He's just kicking butt, He's just doing great.
Yeah, no, it's going to be around forever, no matter, what genre comes in. Rock and roll will always be.
Yeah, it's always evolving and changing. And it's interesting to see you guys, the influences of some of the stuff that, from the 80s, for example, and stuff like that. And yeah, it's Scott's, well, that's a tragedy, but no.
What, Nelson? Come on, man. Bobby Rock, he's now playing with all those bands they were mentioning. He's their drummer.
But anyway.
Look him up. He's a little bit interesting. He's interesting.
I'll have to check out
Bobby Rock. He's a vegan. It's pretty interesting to see his lifestyle.
Well, anyway, the time has just flown. I want to thank you guys, all of you guys, for being on the show.
And then,
I wanted to mention. Okay.
What I was going to say is we have a show May 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Our new promoters, RJ Valdez and Ben Burt.
Yeah, Ben Burt. We're playing a show with We Came as Romans.
There's five headliners, and we're one of the five.
Where's it at?
It's in Irvine. It's called Oaks Canyon. That's where it is.
And the fest is called Wild Wild Fest.
Okay. All right. So that's a new one. So the Whiskey A Go Go, March 28th. Club Loaded, April 5th. In Irvine, Oaks Canyon, May 3rd.
And also, a huge thank you to Ben Burt and RJ Valdez. They're doing awesome. They're so cool. They're absolutely killing it. They made this happen for us. So thank you very much.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Yeah. That's great.
They're awesome. They're
awesome, huge band that we actually listen to.
Okay. We're going to have you take us out. Just do a little jam on the guitar.
Yeah, before we go, just to mention, next week we have Phil Jamison from Matchless Amps.
Matchless Amps. That's going to be fun. Real quick, Nick Kai Entertainment Official is his Facebook page. Check it out. Also, too, if you can, check out the docancerfund.org and, help them out. That's a really cool thing that they're doing there. But anyway, thank you very much, you guys. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for having
us.
It flew by. We're definitely going to have you guys. I want to have you guys on after you get the full Marshall stack, so we can talk full Marshall stacks. Anyway, Nick, take us out, and everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. All right. This solo is actually just everything that we just talked about.
All okay.
The techniques and everything.
All right. We'll be right back.